Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12. It says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now we've been looking at the subject of persecution. So far we've attempted to define persecution. We saw that both in the Greek and Hebrew text, it entails a physical and literal torment that chases one, puts one to flight. It could also be non-physical, internal, emotional, suffering, pain, distress, and hardship. Okay, and all of this happened for the Lord's sake. It is not persecution to just suffer. It's only persecution when it occurs for the faith. Then in the last service, we examined the biblical revelation on persecution. From the Old Testament, we said that God's people have suffered for their faith right from the Old Testament. Then the four Gospels in the life and teachings of Jesus. And then in the book of Acts, how the early Christians suffered for their faith. So today we pick up quickly from where we left off on the believer and persecution by examining what the epistles have to say concerning persecution. Beginning with the Pauline epistles. So somebody in here, persecution in the Pauline epistles. Okay? Now you find that some epistles were written specifically to discuss persecution. For example, 1 Peter, Hebrews, and Revelation were written to encourage Christians who are suffering trials for their faith. 2 Timothy, 1 Peter, and Revelation were written when the church faced severe persecution from Emperor Nero. N-E-R-O. Now, 2 Timothy was Paul's last epistle before he was beheaded. Okay, there it speaks of how all had forsook him during his trial. 2 Timothy 4 verse 16. It says, at my first defense, no one stood with me. Underline that, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. Underline that, all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Paul's epistles also contains admonitions concerning persecution. Romans 12, verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Underline that, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 2, 14 to 16, it says, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered, underline that, also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, underline that, from they to Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, underline that, have persecuted us, and they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they may be saved. So as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Paul also recounts his sufferings for the sake of the gospel. Now the Lord had spoken ahead that Paul would suffer persecution. Acts 9:15-16. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now these words came to pass. 2 Corinthians 4:8-12. It says, we are oppressed on every side. Underline that. Oppressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed. Underline, we are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted. Underline that, but not forsaken. Struck down. Underline that, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our own body. For we who live are always delivered to death, underline that, from our to death, for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Galatians 5 verse 11, similarly there, it says, "And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution?" Underline that, from a while to persecution, then the offense of the cross has ceased. So Paul suffered persecution. 2 Timothy 3:10-11, it says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions," underline that, persecutions, afflictions, "which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured," underline that, "persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me." In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, verses 30-32 of that same chapter, "And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour," underline from "we" to "our," "are firm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily," underline that, "I die daily. If in the manner of man, I have fought with beasts at Ephesus," underline that, "beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me? If the dead do not arise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." Now Paul is saying here that what is the use of ministers of the gospel risking their lives for the gospel if there is no resurrection of the dead? So "I die daily" here means every day my life is in danger for the sake of the gospel. So it seems that one of the reasons why the resurrection was very important to the early church was persecution. They were confident that although they died for Christ, they would one day be raised again, never to die. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 13, it says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus," underline that, "from will to Jesus, and will present us with you, for all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." So the resurrection was always a source of encouragement to the persecuted Christians. They could readily give their lives, knowing death was not the end. Verse 17 of that same chapter, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory," underline that, "from our to glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen," underline that, "the things which are seen," now in context, our dying bodies, okay, "but are the things which are not seen," that is, our immortal bodies, "which would receive at the resurrection. For the things which are seen," underline seen, that is, our bodies dying in persecution, "are temporary," underline temporary, "but the things which are not seen," underline that, "are not seen," that is, immortality at the resurrection, "are eternal." In 2 Corinthians 6, Paul shows that ministry was sometimes tough due to trials he faced. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 3, it says, "We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed, but in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations," underline tribulations, "in needs," underline needs, "in distresses," underline distresses, "in stripes," underline stripes, "in imprisonments," underline that, "in tumults," underline that, "in labors," underline that, "in sleeplessness," underline that, "in fastings," underline that, "by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor," underline that, dishonor, "by evil report," underline that, evil report and good report, "as deceivers," underline that, "as deceivers," that is, they were called deceivers. Okay, "and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying," underline dying, "and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed," underline chastened, "as sorrowful," underline sorrowful, "yet always rejoicing, as poor," underline poor, "yet making many rich, as having nothing," underline that, "having nothing and yet possessing all things." Do you see that? So Paul describes how his ministry looked like. It wasn't rosy at all. He suffered for the sake of the Christ, for the sake of the gospel. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me," underline that, "a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, underline that. Infirmities, in reproaches, underline that reproaches, in needs, underline needs, in persecutions, underline persecutions, in distresses, underline that distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, we've explained this in the course of this teaching. That thorn in the flesh referred to persecution, not sicknesses, as verse 10 shows. Now, some have tried to use Galatians 4 to teach that Paul's thorn in the flesh was an eye defect. Okay? Galatians 4 verse 13. Let's see that quickly. Galatians 4 verse 13. You know that because of physical infirmity, underline that, because of physical infirmity, I preach the gospel to you at the first. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes, underline that, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. So those people who say that Paul had an eye problem, because he told them here, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Then they use Galatians 6 verse 11 to support their claim. Galatians 6 verse 11, it says, See what large letters I have written to you with my own hand. So they say that Paul used large letters to write because he couldn't see well. Interesting. Now just read the entire book and you would see that the big letters were for emphasis. Okay? Paul wasn't happy with the state of the church as he wrote. So he often used big letters, okay, to emphasize, like he was shouting. Okay, so that is just fanciful interpretation. Okay, so what does Paul mean when he says to the Galatian church, I preach the gospel to you in physical infirmity? Galatians 4 verse 13. What was this physical infirmity? Was it sickness? No, it was a bruised body from stoning. Acts chapter 14 records this. Verse 19 of that same chapter. It says, Then Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul, underline that, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, it was immediately after this that he went to preach to the Galatians. You see that in Acts 16, verse 6. So, he wasn't sick, but was heavily bruised, alright? His face and eyes were swollen. It says in the same book, Galatians 6, verse 17, it says, From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Underline that. The marks of the Lord Jesus. The marks of the Lord Jesus are bruises, okay? He received from preaching Jesus. So, is Galatians clear? Okay? In 2 Corinthians 11, Paul lists his sufferings for the sake of the gospel. Verse 23. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. It says, Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times, I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things that come upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Now, some have opined that this was a list of all of Paul's sufferings in his ministry, but that's not true. Okay? The 2 Corinthians 11 list is not complete. 2 Corinthians is the 4th book written by Paul. Now, it was written from Macedonia in the autumn of 57 AD, okay, during his 3rd missionary journey. Now, it is believed that Paul's conversion occurred in 36 AD and he died in Rome in 68 AD. So, Paul had a ministry of about 32 years. Now, 2 Corinthians was written in 57 AD. So it only contained Paul's sufferings until that time. Do you follow that? So the 2 Corinthians list contains Paul's trials from 36 AD to 57 AD. So that will be the first 21 years of his ministry. But it would not include the last 11 years of his ministry. Therefore, that list would not include the fourth and final year of Paul's third missionary journey. That would be number one. Number two, it would not include Paul's arrest and persecution in Jerusalem, Acts 21 to 26. Number three, Paul's two-year imprisonment in Jerusalem, Acts 22, verse 24. Number four there, Paul's journey from Caesarea to Rome that included a shipwreck and a snake encounter, Acts 27 and Acts 28. Number five, Paul's house arrest in Rome, Acts 28, verse 16, Acts 28, verse 30. Number six, Paul's second Roman imprisonment, which ended in his execution. Therefore, the list of sufferings in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 28 would include Paul's sufferings during the first two-thirds of his 32-year ministry, but it does not include the final one-third. Okay, now let's briefly make a closer examination of Paul's 2 Corinthians 11 sufferings, so you may list here. Number one, in labors more abundant, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, so you may turn there. We're going back and forth. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Okay? In labors more abundant. Now, Paul was unmatched in his labor for Christ. Now, some tried to steal the fruit of his labor. You may see 2 Corinthians 10, 12 to 15. Number two, in stripes above measure. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Now, this refers to the beatings that he received from the Gentiles. Now, the Roman law permitted only 39 stripes. You may see Deuteronomy 25, verse 3 for that. But the Romans had no such law, so he could have received more stripes. Number 3, in prisons more frequently. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Now, Luke records only one imprisonment in Paul's life up to this point. You may see Acts 16, 23 to 29 at Philippi. But here, Paul says, in prisons more frequently, that is more than once, but there is no contradiction. So we must know that Luke does not give a complete account of Paul's life and ministry. Do you follow that? Many details are left out. Much was done by Paul which is not recorded in Acts. Okay, number four, in debt often. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 23. Paul often risked his life for the gospel. That's what it means here. In debt often. You may see 2 Corinthians 4 verse 11 for that. Number 5. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 24. Now by calculation, this totals 195 stripes inflicted on Paul. Now usually for the Jewish tribe, the victim was stripped to the waist. Okay? His hands tied to a pillar and then beaten on the back between the shoulders by a whip of 3 thongs. THONGS. Now the rulers of the synagogues had the power to mete out this punishment on those they thought to be deserving of it. But they were very careful not to exceed 39 stripes per occasion, so as not to break the law of Moses. You may see Deuteronomy 25:2-3 for this. The historian Josephus noted that the Jews were very careful not to exceed 39 stripes, okay, per the law of Moses. An executioner could be subject to punishment if he exceeded 39 stripes. Number 6. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 25. Now this was a Roman method of torture. It sometimes resulted in death. Now one of these 3 times is recorded in Acts chapter 16 verse 22. You see that after being beaten, Paul and Silas are thrown into jail. Verses 23 to 24, that same chapter. Number 7. Once I was stoned. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 25. Now, stoning was common among the ancient Jews. It was used to punish blasphemy. Now, the occasion Paul referred to here is recorded in Acts chapter 14 verse 19. It occurred at Lystra during Paul's first missionary journey. Now, interestingly, Paul oversaw Stephen's stoning. Remember that? In Acts 7, verse 58, Acts 8, 1. Now, he too was being stoned. You see that? Now, number 8. Three times I was shipwrecked. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Now, it was common in Bible days to travel by ship. You may see Deuteronomy 28, verse 68, Psalm 107, verse 23, Jonah 1, 3, Acts 21, 1 and 7, Acts 27, verse 6. Now, this was usually very dangerous due to bad weather. Okay? Traveling by ship in Bible days was very dangerous due to bad weather, incompetent pilots, and bad ships. So, shipwrecks were not a strange thing. The book of Acts doesn't record any of Paul's shipwrecks within the first 2/3 of his ministry. However, it does record one shipwreck that Paul encountered from Caesarea to Rome. You may see Acts 27, 14 to 44 for that. Number 9. A night and a day I have been in the deep. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 25. Deep here refers to the sea. So having been shipwrecked, Paul was in the sea, floating for many days. Do you follow that? That's what it refers to here. Floating for about a day before reaching shore. Number 10. In journeys often. Okay? In journeys often. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Now, traveling in the first century was very dangerous. Bandits usually hid on the roads to attack and rob travelers. Number 11. In perils of waters. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Now, the waters on which Paul traveled were largely unsafe. The currents were high, and there was constant danger of drowning. Number 12. In perils of robbers. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Now, Jesus the Christ tells the parable of the Good Samaritan, in which a man was robbed on his journey. You may see Luke 10, 25 to 37 for that. Luke 10, 25 to 37. Now, this was common in Bible days, so that is what Paul refers to here. In perils of robbers. Number 13. In perils of my own countrymen. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Now, Paul's countrymen were the Jewish people. No one opposed Paul like his own people. Now, this is recorded in the book of Acts. Okay, a long list, so we'll run through now. At Damascus, Acts 9, 23 to 25. At Jerusalem, Acts 9, 29. Pisidian Antioch, Acts 13, verse 15. Iconium, Acts 14:5, Lystra, Acts 14:19, Thessalonica, Acts 17, verse 5, Berea, Acts 17, verse 13, Corinth, Acts 18, verse 12. On several occasions, they sought to kill Paul. Acts 21, verse 31, you may see that. Acts 23:12 to 14, Acts 25:2-3. Number 14, in perils of the Gentiles, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Paul faced persecution from non-Jews also, so not just Jewish people, non-Jews also, although most times these non-Jews were stirred up by the Jewish people. Paul faced persecution from Gentiles in Iconium, Acts 14:1-7, Philippi, Acts 16:19-24, Ephesus, Acts 19:23-34. Number 15, in perils in the city. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. In every city that Paul went to, he was in danger of either bodily harm or death. Now, this happened, number 1, at Damascus, Acts 9:23, at Jerusalem, Acts 9:29, at Antioch in Pisidia, Acts 13, verse 50, number 4, in Iconium, Acts 14:5, number 5, in Lystra, Acts 14, verse 19, number 6, Philippi, Acts 16, verse 19, number 7, Thessalonica, Acts 17, verse 5. Berea, number 8, Acts 17, verse 13. Number 9, Corinth, Acts 18, 12 to 13. Number 10, Ephesus, Acts 19, verse 23. Now, number 16 here. In perils in the wilderness, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. As Paul traveled through the wilderness between Perga and Pisidian Antioch and the deserts, he came face to face with many dangers, including wild animals, okay, hunger and thirst, bad weather, and inadequate shelter. So, Paul was never safe from danger, both in the cities occupied by men and in the lowly wilderness. Number 17, in perils in the sea. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 26. Now, in ancient times, ships on voyage were sometimes accosted by pirates. You know what pirates are? Okay, who robbed them and sometimes killed the crew. Number 18, in perils among false brethren. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 26. Now this was the worst form of danger that Paul faced. Okay, the worst form of danger. Paul could endure all other forms of persecution, but treachery was the crown of all that he faced. Okay, Paul saw those who claimed to be his brothers in Christ betray him to his enemies. Betrayers are deadly. Do you follow that? You see that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus by revealing secret information about Jesus to the Pharisees. Okay, he was an inside man, a mole, a spy for the Pharisees. You may see Matthew 26, 14 to 16, and 23 to 25, 47 to 50. Matthew 26, 14 to 16, 23 to 25, 47 to 50. And this resulted in Jesus' death. So betrayers are deadly. Okay, very dangerous. Number 19, in weariness and toil. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 27. Okay, as Paul carried out the work of ministry, he also worked as a tent maker. He toiled to make ends meet. You may see Acts 18, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 8. Now his hard work made him weary. Number 20. In sleeplessness often. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Now this describes videos which Paul had to pray and meditate on scripture. Sometimes he also gave up sleep to preach. You may see Acts 20, 7 to 11. Number 21. In hunger and thirst. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. In hunger and thirst. Paul sometimes lacked resources to purchase food. You may see 2 Corinthians 4 verse 11, Philippians 4 verse 12. Now this was involuntary. He had no choice. Okay. Number 22. In fastings often. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Fasting was one of the ways that Paul disciplined his body. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27. Fasting is an abstinence from food. Now this is voluntary. Okay. He chose to stay off food to focus on spiritual things. Number 23, in cold and nakedness. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. Now the Jews believed that a great teacher was known by his great wealth. They had the proverb, the Jewish people, that a great teacher should have a goodly house, a fair wife, and a soft couch. You hear that? A goodly house, a fair wife, and a soft couch. A great teacher. You may see Matthew 23 verse 6 for that. But Jesus thought that greatness wasn't in things. Hallelujah. See Matthew 8 verse 20 for that. Okay. No wonder his followers were little concerned about material things. They didn't care about material things. Here, Paul describes himself as being in cold and nakedness, meaning that he did not have sufficient clothes to keep him warm. You see that from his prison cell in Rome, Paul writes to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4 verse 13. He says to Timothy, bring the cloak that are left with Carpus at Troas when you come. So he needed extra clothes because he didn't have much. Do you see that? Number 24, my deep concern for all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 28. So in addition to all of Paul's bodily sufferings, he also suffered internal anguish. He felt extreme care and anxiety for the church. Paul always wanted to know how the churches were doing. You may see 1 Thessalonians 2, 17 to 20, 3, 1 to 5. He always prayed for them. Ephesians 1, 15 to 23, 3, 14 to 21, Philippians 1, 9 to 11, Colossians 1, 9 to 11, Philemon 1, 4 to 6. So, this is a list of Paul's sufferings in just the few years of his ministry. Do you see that? Just the first few years of his early ministry. Okay, now the book of Acts gives us a list of times where Paul suffered suffering for the faith. Now let's run through them quickly as we close. Following so far? Okay, number one, his life was threatened in Damascus. Acts 9:23. Number two, his life was threatened again in Jerusalem. Acts 9:29. Number 3, he was driven out of Pisidian Antioch, Acts 13 verse 50. Number 4, he was almost stoned at Iconium, Acts 14 verse 5. Number 5, he was stoned and left for dead in Lystra, Acts 14 verse 19. Number 6, he was beaten with rods and imprisoned at Philippi, Acts 16:23 to 24. Number 7, there was a riot against him and his companions in Thessalonica. Acts 17:5-7. The Jews stirred up trouble against him. Number 8, at Berea. Acts 17:13-14. Number 9, he was mocked in Athens. Acts 17:18. Number 10, he was taken before the law in Corinth. Acts 18:12-13. Number 11, he was persecuted by the silversmiths of Ephesus. Acts 19:23-41. Number 12, the Jews plotted against him in Greece. Acts 20:3. Number 13, he was almost lynched by a mob in Jerusalem. Acts 21:27-31. Number 14, he was arrested by the Romans. Acts 22:24-29. He was almost scorched in this incident. Number 15, there was an assassination plot against him in Acts 23:12-22. Number 16, Paul is in prison for 2 years in Caesarea. Acts 23:33-27:2. Number 17, he experiences a shipwreck. Acts 27:39-28:1. Number 18, he was almost beaten by a snake. Acts 28:3-6. Number 19, he was under house arrest. Acts 28:30. So Paul did suffer for the sake of Christ. You see that? But irrespective, hallelujah, irrespective of this, Paul never gave up. He kept the faith. He says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, therefore I take pleasure, underline that, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He saw persecution as proof of being a good minister. See 2 Corinthians 6:3-10. 2 Corinthians 6:3-10. It says, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Underline that. We commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor, by dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold relief, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That was Paul. You see that one of his final words is recorded, 2 Timothy 4:6. As we close, 2 Timothy 4:6, it says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, underline that. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, underline that. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith, underline that. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not me only, but also all who have loved his appearing. So he accomplished all that God would have him accomplish in spite of trials. Hallelujah. So we can learn from Paul that saints should have a dogged attitude. Hallelujah. A never give up attitude, irrespective of persecution, regardless of persecutions for their faith. They must keep at serving the Lord till the very end. Did you learn? Lift your hands, give him praise. We continue from here. Thank him.